Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Hey, Jess Romero's actually landed at home. All during Lent, this dude's been running around preaching the gospel. And Jess, it's good to see you in your own studio because that means you're in your own bed and the environment. So thank you. You know what, Jess? I want to ask all of our listeners to continue to lift you up in prayer because what you're doing on the road is not easy at our age. So there you go.
No, it isn't.
No.
And reparation.
Exactly, Jess. And today, talk about reparation. We've got some folks that we're going to talk about a rosary rally protest at a drag queen festival in your backyard in Phoenix, Arizona, March 23rd. And we want to hear how Catholics are standing up for the truth. Wow, that's good. And then, Jesse, I find it very fascinating that we find an article here regarding experts, experts calling left-wing leaders psychopathic. We hear it the other way around, but what they point out is it makes sense. You think about it because it's me, myself, and I. And whenever it's all me, yeah, you're going to get messed up. All right, just for the need-to-know file, I find this very interesting. A secular author who writes to parents, she says this: parents have a duty to forbid daughters to have immodest dress. And here's what I find ironic about it. We have officials in the Catholic Church at the very top who tell us, hey, stop worrying about the sins below the belt. Okay? Cut it out. But then we have a secular person saying just the opposite. But I have a premise. I know why that's the case. And Jess, I'm going to say it. And I say it with love and devotion to our Holy Father. I ask the Holy Fathers of my lifetime, and my influence in my life has been John Paul II. And who influenced his life? St. Louis de Montfort. Who influenced Benedict XVI in a very powerful way? St. Augustine. And now Pope Benedict says, who influenced my life? Who taught me how to think in college? An atheist who's a communist. Okay, so I get it. I'm sad to have to say that. But it makes sense. It really explains why the Holy Father's doing certain things. He didn't get good formation, and that's a tragedy. All right, one last one, Jesse. And you were there. You were actually at this event on the 19th of March, feast day of St. Joseph. Roger Stone said it, right? You heard it. He revealed he was kicked out of the Catholic parish over his opposition to COVID restrictions. Well, I was too, but you know what, Roger? I didn't leave the church to join a Protestant church. And you know what, though? People who have very, weak faith, they see, well, if the Catholic Church said, I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's sad. So I want to pray for Roger Stone that he'll come back to the Catholic Church and not be scandalized by scandal, because it's hard not to be scandalized. So those are my two need-to-know file. How about you, Jess?
Yeah, Terry. You remember Mr. Rogers from the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
He died in 2003. Mm-hmm. But something that a lot of people don't talk about, Mr. Rogers, the TV personality.
Yeah.
He was a puppeteer, yeah. A writer, a producer.
Right.
He was also a Presbyterian minister.
Now, that I didn't know.
Yeah, he's the famous host of the children's show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, that played from 1968 to 2001. Well, guess what most people don't know? When he was dying in 2003, he received the sacraments of the Catholic Church and became a Catholic at his deathbed.
Is this microphone
on? Most people don't know that.
Yes, nobody said that.
He was received into the church by Archabbot Nowicki, a Benedictine, at his deathbed, received the sacraments from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to Presbyterian pastor to Catholic on his deathbed.
I love that story.
Also,
yeah,
24 states are now protecting kids from trans surgeries. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Wyoming on Friday became the 24th state to protect children,
yep,
from being subjected to transgender surgeries when Republican Governor Mark Gordon signed the Senate file 99 into law. That's a good thing. Also, another study was done that says that religious families are happier.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Families involved in religious activities tend to be happier, more stable, and less abusive than other families, these new studies have found. And one study discovered that men who attend religious services regularly are 72% less likely to abuse their female partners, which adds to a family's overall sense of stability and well-being. Also,
wow,
a staff member at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
sought to engage a drag queen with a criminal background to perform at a pride-themed drag story hours for children.
Oh, no.
Mary Margaret Olihan reports that the revelation underscores concerns that drag queen story hour organizers are failing to perform background checks on the adults who dress in drag and read LGBTQ books to children at drag queen story hours. Also, Planet Fitness value plummets after trans scandal.
Yeah.
So they got Bud Lighted. Planet Fitness saw a $400 million dive in valuation just days after revoking an Alaska woman's membership for snapping photos of a man shaving in the woman's locker room.
Yep.
The woman had sounded the alarm about the gym chain's transgender policy, which allows men who claim to be female into women's locker rooms. So they got hit by $4 million in the last couple of weeks. And finally,
wow,
want to remind you,
good,
Holy Week is a great time to go to confession.
Absolutely.
Remember that. All right, Terry.
Hey, Jesse, those are so good news. You know, we see the pushback that's going, we can do. If we Christians and even people of goodwill, if they just decide, you know what, knock it off, we're not going to support this. Trust me, they're going to want to stay in business. They'll change not because they want to, it's because they have to. All right. Jess, let's bring the let's get the soul food in our soul right now, bro. This is the week to change the world.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Today is Tuesday of Holy Week. Again, this is the apex of Catholicism, Terry. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
This is salvation history coming to a culmination. Today's Holy Gospel, John chapter 13, verses 21 and following. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I handed the morsel after I dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, look what it says here. Satan entered him.
Mm.
St. Augustine says he became possessed at this moment. St. Augustine comments on this. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, but what we need for the feast or to give something to the poor. So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glory him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." He's talking about heaven. Mm-hmm. Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There we see two people, two apostles juxtaposed to one another. Judas became possessed. He betrayed Jesus Christ mm-hmm. of his own free will.
Yep.
Peter also denied Jesus Christ as well three times, but Peter repented. Judas didn't repent. The catechism tells us that he died of despair, the sin of despair. He did not believe that the mercy of God can forgive him what he had done. So both of them, Judas and Peter, both betrayed Jesus. Judas did not repent. He's in hell. Peter repented. He's in heaven. Pretty simple. Repent the gospel.
You know, that's what the gospel says. Repent and believe in the gospel. That story really does articulate well what we're dealing with today. Let me see if we got room to... Yeah, let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Full steam ahead. Jess, this ties tie into what you said earlier about some of your good-to-know files. Bishop Sheen says, there is a world of difference between the peace of mind and the peace of soul. The peaceful soul does not seek now to live morally, but to live for God. Morality is only a byproduct of the union with Him. I'm referring to your article about religious people being happier. You see, when we live for God, I'm going to tell a quick story. Just the other day, I was getting chicken food for my chickens. And when I come back, folks, this is a story you're going to like, because it's another way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the ordinary things of life. Stay with us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jess and I, yes, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. Stay with us, family. Welcome back. Indeed, Jesse, you mentioned in our earlier segment that religious people are happier. Well, I attest to that. When I was picking up some chicken food last weekend, the young man who picked up the bags of chicken food, I think they're 40-pound bags, he put 120 pounds on his back and carried him to my car. And I said, wow. I said, you know, I couldn't do that anymore, Jess. That's a young man's job. So I said to him, young man, God bless you. You're amazing. I couldn't do that anymore. I'm too old for that. But thank you for carrying out the chicken food and putting it in my trunk. And I said, how old are you? And I said, you got to be at least 20, 21. He says, I'm 19. And I said, oh, okay. Now I can understand how you're so strong. Well, you know, it won't last forever, so just keep that in mind. I said to him, how old do you think I am? He says, I know how old you are. You're 47 years old. So I started chuckling. I said, really, dude? I said, no, you're not even close. He says, yes, I am. Prove it. So I pulled out my driver's license, showed it to him, and I said, what's that say? And I said, now do the math. Oh, okay. Man, you look blanking good for, you know, 67. And I said, you know why? Because I live for God. And I pointed up in the air. And he looked at me with his look like, what? And I said, God bless you. And he looked back at me and says, God bless you. That's right after he used some foul language. But how do you evangelize people like that, Jess? By sharing the gospel with them. So this is how we need to do it now in the world, because the world is so secular. You're going to get people effing you off. You're saying this and that. And you don't just go, okay. No, you challenge them to say, my joy is from the Lord, and if you really want happiness in your life, you live for Jesus Christ. So anyhow, let's get to this next topic we got going, Jess. Go ahead.
Yeah, Terry, this past Saturday, wow, right, March 23rd,
yeah.
A bunch of us lay Catholics, we joined in prayers of reparation for the sacrilege and blasphemy against our Catholic faith that was taking place down the street
wow.
from Phoenix Diocese.
Oh,
for the Chancery
I know
office.
Exactly where it is. Okay.
So right across the street, there's a building called the Heritage Square
yeah.
and a plaza.
I've been in it.
There was an all-day LGBTQ plus drag queen festival celebration.
Don't tell me the bishop was there. No.
No,
okay, good.
No, not that I know.
Okay, good.
I hope not. I didn't see him there. No,
good.
No.
Good.
So there's about 20,000 of them, Terry, across the street from us. And I felt the presence of holiness, because about 40 to 50 of us, we stood behind the statue of Pope John Paul II, a bronze statue right there right there outside of the diocese.
I know the one.
Pope John Paul II, he wrote Against Marxist Communism.
Yep.
And he gave us a clear understanding of the theology of the body. And so the LGBTQ plus drag queens across the street, they're using Marxist tactics to shoehorn their ideology mm-hmm. and their disordered view of gender
yep.
and the human body into mainstream American culture by having these public festivals, carnivals, library reading for children, and theater performances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our American culture, Terry, and country has become so secular and godless.
Yeah.
You and me are supposed to affirm that, yeah, Bruce Jenner and Dr. Rachel Levine are women?
No.
Are you kidding me? It reminds me of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Yep.
Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. You know, Father Amorth, he warned us, rest in peace, that the devil wants to confuse children about their gender.
Wow.
That's what he wants.
Yep.
This whole LGBT drag queen movement, it's based on pure lies and deception from Satan. So going back to Saturday, mm-hmm. we started praying at 12 noon with the Angelus, and we ended our prayers at 3 p.m. with the Divine Mercy.
Wow.
And again, why did we do that? Because we believe what St. Paul says, as you pray, you saturate the atmosphere with the sweet aroma of Christ.
Yep.
2 Corinthians 2:15,
yep.
The sweet aroma of Christ. And I told the people that were there, I said, we're intentionally uniting our prayers from 12 noon to 3 p.m. right now during Lent. That's the hour that our Lord was redeeming the world on Calvary. And so, you know, Father Ripperger said in the past that your prayers between 12 p.m. and 3 p.m., it taps into the mystical body of Christ. You're tapping into the prayer power of the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. And this increases the blessings and graces for your protection as you're praying in public, and it increases the efficacy of the intercessory prayer for the enemies of God, because there's a lot of prayer power flowing around the world during these times, during these set times for Catholics.
Right.
I tell people, think about a swimmer. A swimmer will swim a lot faster if he swims in the same direction of a strong river current.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's not going to swim as fast in a still pond of water. That's the same thing with your prayers. At set times during the day, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m., 3 p.m., 12 noon to 3 p.m., there's set times of prayer where your prayers are entering into the stream of the prayers of the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. And this is exactly what we did. We united our prayers to the feast day. And we united our prayers in particular. I told the people out there, to the church militant all over the world, that's that prayer. We prayed all four mysteries of the rosary, the divine mercy, all the litanies to Jesus.
Wow.
Holy face, sacred heart, holy name, precious blood, every single litany to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I reminded them, why are we out here? Vatican II says, we're called to sanctify the temporal order.
Yep.
It says that dozens of times in Vatican II. What does that mean?
Right.
It doesn't mean you're called a lay person. It doesn't mean you're called to be a Eucharistic minister. It doesn't mean you're called to be a lector. It doesn't mean you're called to be in the sanctuary acting like a priest. No.
Right.
Our job is the secular society to evangelize the public square, as Bishop Olmsted wrote in a book, Catholics in the Public Square. We're called to evangelize in the public square. That's precisely what we were doing. And even St. Louis de Montfort, Terry, he says in his book, The Secrets of the Rosary,
yeah.
he says, quote, public prayer is more powerful than private prayer to appease the anger of God
yeah.
and call down his mercy. And Holy Mother Church, guided by the Holy Ghost, has always advocated public prayer at times of public tragedy and suffering, close quote. St. Louis de Montfort.
Jesse, let me jump in. Let me just jump in and ask you a question, because you were there. your prayers affecting a satanic thing that goes on, because what they're doing is so contrary to nature. It seems to me that, and you know, Father Chad has said, these prayers are so efficacious, it irritates the heck out of these people. As a matter of fact, I'm actually aware of things that prayers have stopped, things that are satanic going on, and saying we can't do it because somebody's praying in the room. And so I don't really think if people really realize the efficacy of public prayer, but it's the most powerful way. We do that at abortion clinics. And remember, we've had Satanists tell us it irritates the folks in there that are doing this evil deed of killing unborn babies because people are praying. It's like, it's a battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. What happened at St. Patrick's Cathedral? Then Father Chad comes in and does a spiritual warfare and does some exorcisms there. This, we have to realize, as one of the Holy Fathers said, that life is a spiritual war. We're at war right now spiritually. And you're articulating what you just saw Saturday, but I want to hear more about that. But I just wanted to make the point, the power of public prayer is awesome.
Yeah. Public sin
Needs
requires a public act of reparation.
Amen, brother.
This is important.
Yep.
That's why we were there. Because the people across the street were going to blaspheme and commit sacrilege against our Lord and Savior and our Catholic faith. And so their public sin required Catholics to do public acts of reparation. And also the best way I can describe to people when you pray in public, whether it's in front of an abortion clinic, whether it's in front of the Temple of Satan when they come to town, whether it's in front of drag queens when they come to town, or whether you prayed over at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you pray in public, the Bible calls our prayers arrows. Yeah. And when I told the 50 people that are there, I said, well, we're doing here for 3 hours. We're firing arrows from 12 noon to 3 p.m. We're firing arrow prayers into that Pride Festival where there's 20,000 people that are confused. We're firing arrow prayers in there. Those are our prayers. Mm. Well, guess what? We fire the prayers. God decides where they land. And God decides what he's going to do with them.
Yep.
Our goal with our prayer is to merit for those LGBTQ transgender people, to merit for them the grace of conversion, and to make reparation for the blasphemy and sacrilege that's coming out of their mouths. Because what's coming out of their mouths is the black smoke of Cain. And let's not forget that the supreme law of the Catholic Church, according to the last code of canon law, is the salvation of souls. That's why Catholics stand in front of abortion clinics, drag queen events, satanic conferences, and Dodger Stadium, and Ohio, and we prayed at Mar-a-Lago because we want to merit for those people the grace of conversion.
Well, you know, Jesse, what you're just saying is so important. Even on our own, let's say our listeners, when we hear somebody blaspheme God's name, I always like to say Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. Some reparation needs to be made whenever someone uses God's name in vain. And this happens too often in our culture. So as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to step up and make reparation. And this is why, Jess, at the end of every show, we talk about that. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. How else do you explain someone that's a Satanist or some evil person being converted to the Catholic faith other than the prayers that were being prayed all around the world? Our prayers have efficacy. See, this is what we have to believe as Christians, that when we get up and offer the day to Jesus through Mary, that we are praising God in a powerful way. And so that all these things that happen to us that maybe we consider, tough things that happen, we offer them all in union with Jesus to help redeem the world. So we unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Christ. And that's what you guys did on Saturday. You were like, I don't know what's the arrows, but I mean, they have these machines that can shoot these missiles really fast. The Patriot, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And you guys were shooting those out, spiritual Patriots missiles of spirituality. And it was affecting those people, whether they know it or not. I'm going to tell you, Jess, we need more people to stand up. Remember Dodger Stadium? Some of the people in our church even said, oh, no, just don't go out there. No, public prayer in front of evil has its effect. Wow. Jess, when we come back, more about what you experienced in Phoenix at this rosary rally of concerned Catholics who love the faith and who want to make reparation for sacrilegious. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a very, very quick break. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess has given us an eyewitness view of an event over the weekend, reparation, rosary rally, because they were having these drag queens. And, you know, Jesse, this is kind of taking place all over the country. More Catholics are standing up. I want to give a shout out to, is it Fatima? America Needs Fatima, correct? Those folks are really, were they there at your event?
They sent us, we called them up and they sent us banners to hold up.
Okay, good.
Professional banners.
Yeah.
You can, and they also advertise for us, so you can always count on them, Terry.
Yeah,
they're,
just want to give them a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, there's about 20,000 of people at that festival.
Wow.
That were sexually confused.
Yeah.
And we were across the street, just around the statue, the bronze statue of St. John Paul II.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 hours, I mean, they would walk. They were walking past us and looking at our big banner that we had. I mean, our banner was very tasteful. It just basically said, "quote, stop the grooming of our children with drag queen performances." That's all it said.
Yeah,
we had two people holding the banner.
Good.
And they can see right across the street. It said, big letters, stop the grooming of our children with drag queen performances. Two people in 3 hours came from across the street, came over to our side.
Wow.
And I went to go talk to them.
Yeah.
And they asked me questions. And you can see that they were homosexuals or lesbians or transgender.
Sure.
But they were open to our message.
Yeah.
I said, look it. Okay. We have a real problem. You guys are adults. Obviously, we disagree with we consider what you promote and your lifestyle sinful. That's what we consider it. Okay. But our big beef with you guys is that you guys are targeting children, targeting the youth. And this is what we have a problem with. I know this is America and everybody can do what they want. You got freedom, you know, liberty to do whatever you want, your own free will. But we have a problem with that, the fact that you guys are targeting children specifically. Both of them told me this.
Tell us.
They go, we see your point.
Yeah.
We see your point. We should probably just keep it to ourselves. I said, yeah. If you guys, whatever you guys want to do, sinful actions, you guys should do them amongst yourself. Now, me, as a Catholic, of course, we're praying that you guys will have a change of heart because we fear for your soul. So both of the transgenders that came across the street and talked to me, they were both civil, they were both cordial, and we had a reasonable conversation. We agreed to disagree,
yeah.
But they did agree that targeting children is a bit too far, Terry. I did get them to concede
That's
that
awesome.
Point.
You know, Jesse, this is not the first time you've had confrontations in a very positive way with people on the other side. And I think what happens is, and I'm going to say that your guardian angel is leading you into this because, you know, you don't come on as Mr., you know, tough guy. You come on as a loving, concerned Catholic who says, I fear for your salvation of your soul. I love you enough to tell you what you're doing is wrong. And I just think that that's the approach we should have. And so, folks, if you're listening and you're going to go out to the abortion clinic, the last thing you need to do is be aggressive in confronting these people. You love them, okay? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Love them with the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jess did. Jess, what else happened at that event?
That's pretty much it, Terry. It was an all-day event.
Uh-huh.
But what's sad...
What is it?
Is that... Well, what's sad is that these carnivals, all-day carnivals with drag queens and homo... Yeah. And LGBTQ plus people, it's they're starting to happen from one state to another.
Right.
But here's the good news. When Catholics and even Protestants, when people of faith show up and pray,
yeah,
that's a sign of a quiet peaceful protests, what happens is it affects their psyche. I'll tell you why. You can see studies that talk about people that go to abortion clinics. You got one abortion clinic, one clinic that closes a month somewhere around the country.
Right.
Okay. And why is that happening? Because people are there firing arrow prayers.
That's right.
I also read an article last week, the Temple of Satan, who is united with the drag queens. They're basically tied at the hip. The Temple of Satan, Terry, they put out an article a few weeks ago saying, we're canceling all our events in 2024.
What?
Because of all the negative press of so many people coming out to these events and standing across the street and praying.
Wow.
And holding
That's
signs.
Incredible.
Yeah. So the Temple of Satan has admitted that Catholics and Protestants, mostly Catholics, standing in front of their events with signs and praying has affected them negatively, so much so that their management has canceled all their satanic conferences and festivals for 2024 because they've taken a financial hit and a public relations hit. So now the drag queens are starting to pick it up. That's why Catholics and Protestants, I'm helping somebody right now organize in Michigan.
Good.
I basically have written what to do when the drag queens or Satanists come to your town. I've written 15 things for you to do. Contact the police, let them know you're going to be there. See if you need a permit.
Right.
Check with the diocese, get permission from your pastor. Let your pastor know you're going to do this. Get his blessing.
Yeah.
You're an American citizen, so you can still do this based on the Constitution. So I've written things to do if the Temple of Satan or the drag queens come to your town. And again, it's already affected the Temple of Satan. They've canceled everything in 2024. And we want to do the same thing to the drag queens, Terry. We want to put such prayer power out there in public.
Yeah.
That it's affecting them, and also the negative publicity that people disagree with them, that's going to also make them cancel their events, just like the Temple of Satan.
Yeah, and Jesse, keep it up. And Jess, for those who want to get that information, do they just go to jesseromero.com?
Yeah, email me. Just email me.
Okay.
Go to my website and email me. And if you want to set up a peaceful prayer rally and protest against Satanists or against drag queens in your area, just email me. And I got a sheet that I've written, 15 things to do when these guys come to your town.
You know, Jesse, the more I'm listening, the more I'm thinking, when good people do nothing, evil abounds. And now we're waking up a sleeping giant. It seems everywhere we go, even I'm going to tie this into even the election now and listen to where I'm going. And then you tell me if I'm onto something. I think people are so tired of what's happening at the border, what's happening with the killing of our unborn babies, what's happening with the government funding sex changes. I think people of goodwill are starting to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this. Do you think I'm onto something, Jess?
I absolutely agree with you, Terry.
I think people are now going to see, if we just speak our mind on these things and stop being quiet, we've been quiet way too long. And you know what, Jess? I'm going to throw another thing at the leadership in our church, the bishops, they can't be worried about offending someone in the government, okay? Bishop Strickland says that all the time on his Bishop Strickland show, which we have twice a week here, right before the Terry and Jesse show, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We've got to do the thing what's right and then take the hit for whatever hit we have to take for standing up for Jesus moment. This is our moment. Do you remember the book, The Catholic Moment, Newhouse? He was a Lutheran convert. I'm beginning to wonder, is this our time, Jesse, for Catholics to stand up and be counted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
How can we allow President Biden, who is really a baptized Catholic, he really is, and everything he does regarding abortion, regarding same-sex so-called marriage, is against the Catholic faith. How can we Catholics vote for him? I'm convinced, Jesse, that no Catholic of good conscience can vote Democrat today because of what the Biden administration is about. And I think that if the Catholics really vote according to their conscience that's been instilled in them by divine revelation and the magisterium of the church, Mr. Biden will be out. That's my take.
Yeah, Terry, and I'll tell you that if people want to be inspired and get in the fight, I'll tell you what will inspire you.
Yeah.
if you go to c4c.com and you can watch the conference at Mar-a-Lago, it was some of the most inspirational presentations from Catholics.
Awesome.
Talking about communism versus Catholicism. Virtually every one of the speakers, it was no fluff. It was, this is where we're at, Catholics. It's communism versus Catholicism. Every speaker hammered that home. It was off the charts. I'm saying, finally, we got people telling it like it is.
Yes.
People using words like the globalists and the jab and things that nobody wants to talk about. Depopulation. This is where we're at right now. And so, again, if people want to be like uber inspired, I'm telling people to just take your wife to the movies, sit in your couch, turn on your plasma TV, watch that conference. It's free. It's on c4c.com.
It's great.
And I'm telling you, you're going to walk out and you're going to say, man, sign me up, coach. You're going to say, I'm going to stand up for my faith. I don't care what happens. You know, when you see people like Dr. Peter Navarro just got thrown in jail that day when we were in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Roger Stone has been thrown in jail before as well. These are people that are saying, you know what? I'm not going to give up my core values as a Christian. If I have to go to jail, then so be it. And also, Terry, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yeah.
They played on the big screens with 1,000 people there. They played the January 6th political prisoners doing the Pledge of Allegiance from their jail cells.
Incredible.
I'm telling you, Terry, there was not a dry eye in the room. We all stood there with our hand over our heart doing the Pledge of Allegiance, thinking about all those guys that are doing 10, 20 years for false charges of insurrection, and they led us in the Pledge of Allegiance from the movie screen. Powerful.
So go to see a Catholics for Catholics website, watch the video, pass it on to your friends. More people see it. It's going to be firing people up. I believe that day is like a shot in the arm for us, in the sense of saying, hey, I got to get in the fight. And that's what we're doing. Hey, Jess, when we come back, I hear the music, we're going to talk about psychiatrists, what they have to say regarding, which is really interesting, regarding left-wing leaders, you know, like Obama, like Biden. And it's really fascinating what they have to say. I happen to agree with it. It made all sense to me. Because anytime you think about me, myself, and I get it. Stay with us, family. We'll be back in a short moment.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yes, before we begin this last final phase, I just want to mention, you know, this is the week that changed the world, Holy Week. And you mentioned at the beginning, if you get the confession, folks, yes, please, you got all kinds of confessions going on all over the country right now. So don't miss the opportunity to get into the state of grace for this wonderful Holy Week. It's a wonderful time. The Easter Triduum's coming up. We'll talk more about this as we go on in the week. Jesse, interesting article you picked up on about narcissism. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Terry. It's a researched, well-researched, documented article quoting a lot of psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. And a lot of psychiatrists have stated that they call left-wing leaders psychopathic. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama is one of them that's mentioned in this report.
Yeah.
He's cited as the perfect example of, quote, malignant narcissistic personality disorder. The Biden administration, which insists Donald Trump's re-election would be very bad for America, but this party enthusiastically supports amputating the breasts of young women, cutting off sexual organs of thousands of troubled children. They're also obsessed with ushering many millions of illegal aliens, including terrorists, fentanyl smugglers, MS-13 gang members, child sex traffickers, military-aged Chinese men. They want to bring as many of them as possible into America. This is just to pick one of many examples of what we would call bureaucratic liberal insanity. Even recently, they demanded via the FAA that the U.S. airlines employ more people, including pilots with, quote, severe intellectual and psychiatric problems, close quote. Can you imagine? The left is saying that we have to hire more pilots who have severe intellectual and psychiatric problems.
And not only that, Jesse, United Airlines added that we're not interested in the quality of the person, how good they can fly a plane. We want equality. We want certain amount of men, certain amount of women, certain amount of, you know, homosexuals. It's like, wait a minute, you're what about the customer that's flying on that airline who's going to have his concerns about safety? When you're not going to pick the best qualified person to fly the plane, the compromise will affect safety. And I think that's tragic. And Jesse, what this really tells me, and I said it earlier, is the me, myself, and I. We adore ourselves. And what happens is we have to worship something. You and I have decided that we're going to serve Jesus Christ, God, King of Kings. Okay? That's who we decided on. Now, other people can say, I'm going to serve myself. I'm the king. I'm the God. I've met people like this. And they really do believe that they're some kind of divine, you know, person, and that they're above anybody's position. And they're going to do things that are so narcissistic because they think everything resolves around them.
Terry, but I'll tell you, the only way to take care of this problem, it's not with a pill.
Nope.
And it's not with therapy and a couch. It's with a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's it, man. You nailed it.
Yeah. You're gonna still have this left-wing crazy disorder if you don't encounter the person of Jesus Christ and surrender your life to him.
Amen.
In fact, in the article, these psychiatrists kind of even allude to the diabolic. Look what it says here. It says, of course, many cases of what the secular psychiatric world labels mental disorders ultimately boil down to individuals who one way or another have fallen into the grip of dark spiritual forces. So this secular author just came short of saying demons.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to see what he's talking about, just watch the movie Nefarious.
Nefarious, yeah. I thought
that's okay. That was
excellent.
Edward Brady,
yeah,
the protagonist, fell into the grip of dark spiritual forces called demons.
Yeah.
Specifically in his case, the demon Nefarious was possessing him. Terry, and I'll tell you what this article doesn't say. I mean, it's a well-written article, don't get me wrong, but they use a lot of psychiatric terms, psychological terms.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'll make this article simpler. Every one of us has concupiscence, a fallen nature. The only way that we can heal that nature is by a life of prayer, faith, and the sacraments. Apart from that, our lower nature, our passions, our disordered appetites, our imperfections, they're going to overrun our intellect. What we're called to do as Catholics, our intellect, our mind is supposed to be purified by our Catholic faith, by the Word of God. And this way, our mind, the mind, masters the passions.
Right.
If your mind, formed by the Word of God, doesn't master your passions, it will work the other way around. Your disordered passions will master your mind. St. Joan of Arc said it perfectly. She said, the battlefield between angels and demons is the human mind. That's the chessboard right here.
There you go.
St. Joan of Arc. You want to know where the chessboard, where angels and demons are trying to manipulate or trying to influence? The mind, right here.
Yep.
And so that's what the article uses a lot of medical terms, and that's good. And all in all, the article is saying this, that you can see that people that have kind of a leftist political ideology, these mental health experts are saying that they have dark personalities, that they have malignant, narcissistic personality disorders.
Well, think about it, Jesse. When you don't have God in your life, okay, who do you have? Yourself. And let's be honest. If it's all about me, myself, and I, life is going to be miserable. And you know what miserable people do? They pass it on to other people. That's why you don't want to be around these people. I go back to what, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve ourselves or the Christ the King? And I'm for me to say, and Jess, we serve Christ the King. And our joy in life is not about, oh, look what I can do. No, our joy in life is serving Christ. Look what I get to do through Jesus Christ, and that is share the good news to people. Because as Jess quoted the canon of canon law, the last one, it says, we do everything for the salvation of souls. So lifting up this pin, I offer it to Jesus Christ, is meritorious. And when you realize that, it's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's if anybody wants to read this article, it's worth reading. It's a medical assessment by psychiatrists and psychologists of people that have a left-wing agenda. He calls them psychopathic. This is one psychiatrist and psychologist after another. And it's if you want to get the article, it's called Psych Experts Call Left-Wing Leaders Psychopathic. Put out by WorldNet Daily. You can get it. Go to the website, vmpr.org, vmpr.org, or you can go to my website, jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. And ultimately, what this article says is that people that have kind of a left-wing political ideology, they have a dark personality. The article says that they're psychopaths as well, yeah. And they're narcissists.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like Terry just said, I think it was Bob Dylan said once he says, you either worship God or you're going to worship the devil.
Exactly.
But everybody's got to worship somebody. Why? The catechism says that all of us are religious beings. Religious beings. It's in the catechism. So some people say, well, I don't worship God. Well, you'll worship somebody. You're going to worship narcotics, you're going to worship the occult, you're going to worship yourself, you're going to worship sexual disorders. You'll find something to worship. The human soul was meant to worship and give obeisance to something outside of ourselves. And Bob Dylan said it back in the 70s. He goes, you know, you're going to worship God or you're going to worship the devil, but everybody's going to worship somebody.
You know who quotes that all the time? Bishop Robert Barron. He said that song touched him when he was a young man. See, you see how music can touch people? That's why I just want to give an encouragement word to all you musicians. If you know, music can change a culture. Look what Arianism did with music. They got people to change their views on Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, not as God, but as man. And so we just need to keep fighting the good fight. And this is Holy Week coming up, Jess. Spy Wednesday's tomorrow. And I just want to encourage everyone to focus this week on the Passion of Christ. And then when we get to the Easter Triduum, oh my goodness, this is actually a greatest time if you can. I want to encourage everyone, even the young people, go to the Easter Triduum, because what's going to be read to you in the Gospels will give salvation history, of course. I just think it's the greatest liturgy we have called the Easter Triduum. That's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And it preps us for Easter Sunday. So keep that in mind. I encourage all people to go. Your thoughts, Jess?
Yeah, in fact, tomorrow on tomorrow's show, the Terry and Jesse show, that's all we're going to talk about is Holy Week.
Yeah.
The entire show, we're going to talk about Holy Week. You know, Spy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. That's all we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to cover from different angles. We're going to define each of the days and the spirituality of those days and where they came from.
And you know what else I'm going to do, Jesse, right on the moment? Our God bless Father John Carapi. Continue to pray for him. He did an Easter Triduum set that you and I listened to when we were younger men, and it was a home run. I have it. I'm going to ask our guys to put that on our YouTube channel, Full Sheen Ahead, so people can watch Father Carapi on that. And I know we have it. We can do that. And I guarantee it will touch people, because the stories he told are phenomenal. You and I still remember that series, don't we, Jess?
Terry was one of his, well, he was a phenomenal preacher.
Yeah.
Everything he touched turned to gold. He was like, he had the Midas touch.
Yeah, he did. So I'm going to try and get that on for our folks I want to thank everyone who supports us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We have one thought in mind, how to get to heaven. And we know the solution. His name is Jesus Christ. And when we, Jesse, ask you this question, it relates to that. Jess, what state should we be living in?
State of sanctifying grace.
You got it.
Don't live in the state of mortal sin.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, pray America great again. And don't forget, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
And then I'm going to tell you what I say every day here on Virgin Most Powerful. Our Lady, Fatima, look it up. He said souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifice. Look what the guys did with Jess and his crew out in Phoenix last weekend. That's prayer and sacrifice. We all are called to do that. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 104, because we can unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Stay with us. And Virgin Most Powerful, we thank you for your support, because that's all we're about, helping souls get to heaven. Thanks for your financial and prayerful support. God love you.